All right, good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing today? Welcome. Good morning. We're going to get things going here. Thanks for being here at Bird Park Community Church. How's everyone feeling? We doing okay? I'll take that as a good thing. Marissa, we good? All right, we good. All right, we got someone. Hey, good morning. You know, is this what a polar vortex feels like? Is this what they talk about on the media, like in Texas and stuff? This is what it feels like, right? So, hey, well, that must, all right. Well, hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for being here at Bird Park Church. It's good to see you today. Hey, do you guys remember last week we put out a little word for raising some funds for some video equipment? You guys remember this little special project trying to generate a little extra money for this? Well, hey, look, God is good. It has already been funded, all $3,000. Glory to God. Amen. In just a week's time, we got what we asked for, all right? Amen. And that being said, there's an elder that needs another motorcycle. So I'm just going to put that out there, all right? So, hey, but God is good. And that's right. So, and that being said, we need someone to operate this video equipment now. So if you or know someone who is kind of technically minded, this stuff's very intuitive. It's very simple to operate. We'd love some help working that equipment, all right? So pray that God put that on your heart or someone else's heart that you know. And moving forward, we also are still operating the food bank, and it is alive and well and humming. Nia has been a great help there. She has been very faithful in that ministry. The city has kind of transferred it back to the church, and so we're looking for some extra help there too. Wednesdays, they're handing out food a couple hours, even Tuesday, prepping a little bit. If you or you know someone who might be able to help there, we'd love the help there. And next week, don't forget Spring Forward. It's that time of year again already. You guys know that like daylight savings time is still a thing. I thought COVID got rid of that, but maybe not. It's still here. So don't forget next week to spring forward. Set your clocks forward an hour. That means we lose sleep, right? This is the one where we lose sleep on. All right. That's okay. Well, that's right. We spring forward in the spring. So, well, guys, I don't know if you listen. I'm just going to stop for a second. And just the stillness out here. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. Cloudy days like this, it's a little quiet. And I just want to tell you guys, as the band comes up, today we're going to be singing Be Still and Know That the Lord Is in Control. And I just needed that this week. I don't know if any of you needed that this week. It's been a stressful week. A lot of stuff piling on. Work, personal life, projects, everything, right? It's piling on. And I just had to pray, Lord, allow me to get through this. And I heard baby steps, all right? Just baby steps, get through the one thing at a time. And I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But a day like today, just to be still and know that God is in control. He's got a plan. He's working all things together for those who love him. Amen?
Amen. Yes. Amen.
All right, let's worship.
Amen. Thanks, Reed. Again, the lyrics to the songs are available there on the tables, the QR codes there for your smartphones. To sing along, and those online, you can check that out on our website, avoncommunitychurch.org, and you can get the lyrics there. Let's worship this morning.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of first sight? As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light.
If you have so say, I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in light. Have you ever seen the wonder in the air of second light? Having come out of the waters with the old one left behind. If you have so say, I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder, and you're the wonder in the wild, turning wilderness to wonder. If you have so say, I see the world in love. I see the world in freedom. I see the Jesus way. You're the wonder in the wild. I see the world your way. I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way. I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder. You're the wonder in the wild, turning wilderness to wonder. If you have so say, I see the world in love. I see the world in freedom. I see the Jesus way. You're the wonder in the wild, turning wilderness to wonder. You're the wonder in the wild, turning wilderness to wonder.
I was telling the band this morning it was cool just being out here and seeing the green grass coming up instead of our dirt ground out here. Just, again, the world bursting in color out here. If you just take moments to be in God's beautiful creation, you begin to just be moved for worship of God, right? It's just amazing how good He is to us, how much He provides His blessings over us. It is an interesting comment there in that last song, I'll see the world your way, because there's a lot of things in the world we struggle with. We don't like sometimes what we see, you know, but what is the way the gospel sees the world, the way Jesus, God sees the world? He loves it. He dove right into it to change it. And so this morning, as we just continue to worship, let's understand the love of God for us. Let's understand the reaching He is doing into our lives, that our thoughts would change to be the thoughts He has. Our perspective would begin to be His perspective on this world and over our lives.
Falling on my knees in worship, giving all I am to seek Your face. Lord, all I am is Yours. My whole life I place in Your hands. God of mercy, humbled I bow down. In Your presence at Your throne, and I call, You answer. seek your face. Lord, all I am is yours. My whole life I place in your hands. God of mercy, humbled I bow down in your presence.
And a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? And bring it all to the table.
There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin and all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. Through the cross you've been forgiven, you're accepted as you are. And bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your trials and all your worries and your burdens, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. Come on in, take your place. There's no one who's turned away. All you sinners, all you saints, come right in and find your grace. And bring it all to the table. There's nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin and all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table.
How does that feel to you this morning? Are you able to reach that in your heart and emotionally? Are you willing? How does that feel to come to the table or to be invited? To be invited. The invitation's just, maybe that's enough for you this morning. It's overwhelming. Bring it all, he says. I have a chair with your name on it. Come to the table this morning. I'm waiting for you. And if you need to, take the lowest seat at the table. That's fine. That's fine. You'll find in time that he will move you as close to him as he needs to through the process. But just get to the table this morning. As we prepare for communion, I want to make sure everyone has received their cup of the elements this morning. If not, just put a hand up and one of our volunteers will help you out. Welcome you this morning to church and all the elements that are going on around us. What a great place to do church this morning. Christians, before taking this cup, it's time to ask yourself, what do you believe? The Bible is inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative. It is the Word of God. Amen? We believe in the one true God, sovereign, eternal creator of all that exists, both seen and unseen. God is eternally existent in three persons, yet one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sinless life, all of his miracles, vicarious and atoning death through his shed blood and his bodily resurrection, and also the power in his ascension to the right hand of the Father, and in his personal return in power and in glory. And folks, if you don't believe we're close, you might want to rethink that one somewhere under a tree somewhere. We're getting close. We're getting close. We believe God created mankind in his image. And Adam and Eve, the first human beings, chose to rebel against God. They went their own way, and as a result, all of mankind became separated from God. And the image of God in man was distorted. But mankind became subject to the power of the devil at that time, and the sinful nature was passed on to their generations. Because of original sin, unregenerate human beings are incapable of pleasing or even commending themselves to God. The only remedy for mankind's pitiful predicament is redemption. Amen? Faith in Jesus Christ, what he did for us, this sets the tone for why we come to the table. It is in thanksgiving. Bring it all, everything that you feel is inadequate, all the shame, all the sorrow, everything, your idols, bring it all to the table. Jesus has a present ministry. The Father has a present ministry. And right now here on this planet, we have activated a very present ministry of the Holy Spirit, by whose indwelling the Christian can begin a new life, a different life, a godly life. It's a struggle. There will be a resurrection of the saved and the lost. They who are saved into the resurrection of life, who are lost into the resurrection of damnation. There is a spiritual unity that we have with Christ. All of these things are because of what Jesus did for you. And he said, I want you to remember me. I want you to not forget my sacrifice. And I want you to have a time of worship, a time to think of where you're at with all of this invitation. Peace be with you. It's a good time to express the same thing that Jesus said to constant folks coming up to him, constant people he appeared to. Peace be unto you. Look at your neighbor and just say that. Peace of Jesus be with you. Please take your cup, and there's a small wafer in the top. If you'll remove that. Take that. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, let me go over this with you again, exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper, why it's so centrally important. Jesus says, I've received my instructions from the Master himself, and I pass them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, he took bread, given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. He said, this cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink it, remember me. Remember what I have done for you. Scripture says what you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact your words and actions with the death of the Master. You'll be drawn back to this meal again and again until the Master returns. In verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, you must never let familiarity breed contempt. Let's stay grateful. Let's remember what he has done. Pray with me. Father, we come to this table as your guests. Thank you for the invitation. For many years, a lot of us have rejected that, or even just put it off. Not today. Not today. We bring it all to the table. There's a seat with our name on it. We're resting in the worthiness of your Son, Jesus. And as we look on his death, may we remember why he died. To cleanse, to heal, to satisfy your righteousness and justice. Today we remember the King's love and boundless grace. We reflect with gratitude in the assurance of forgiveness, eternal life, and the hope of glory, as this bread and cup nourish our body. We say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
After me. John 15, starting with verse 9, says, I loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy holy and mature. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not have or does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, at peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain. To God in prayer. Oh, what peace. And oh, what peace we often forfeit. And oh, what needless pain we bear. And oh, because we do not.
Silence all my fear. I won't be afraid. afraid, you don't let go. Be still my heart and know I won't be afraid. Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me, will follow me. Surely love and mercy, your peace and kindness will follow me.
Thank you for your incredible love. May it be felt, may it be known this morning, just as we celebrated at the table. God, you gave your one and only Son that we might truly come back into fellowship and oneness with you. We thank you, we praise you for the work that you did on the cross for us, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we breathe in the life of renewal and refreshing in our spirit and our soul this morning. We lift all this, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. And a big hand for the worship band. Excellent. And Andrew joining in as well. Now, more people are blessed to know about Andrew's voice than just those that kind of secretly held that in. Good morning. A little chilly, huh? Okay. These are the kind of mornings I remember at church where we used to, and I don't miss them at all, we used to have battles. Remember those battles? We used to have people coming to the thermostat, and they would turn it up, and then they would turn it down because it got too hot, and they would turn it up, and sometimes they would meet halfway coming to and fro, and we'd have to kind of separate them and say, no, not in church. Well, we don't have that problem here, do we? Because you don't have heaters, do you? Some of you are wishing that we did have, you know, a thermostat here. And not even the golf carts have heaters, do they? Oh, but you're out of the wind most of the time. But you do have horns, right? Let's hear them. Hey, I was turning your mistake into something great here, you know? Yeah, that's what we are supposed to be doing. Turning our sins into something great, right? Redeeming them. Yeah. Well, another thing I like about this time, other than not having the heater wars in church, is have you noticed, and in Catalina, we don't really have a lot of them, like they do on the mainland, but we're not standing in lines much, you know? Because nobody's going out. And if they are standing in lines, they don't look like lines because they're, you know, they're so separate and they zigzag them on purpose just to kind of make sure that the spacing is what the spacing is supposed to be. I was standing in line, however, not too long ago here in Catalina. It was a line I didn't really mind standing in. And once it got going pretty quickly. And, of course, that's the line for our shots. But there is a line that that would go 750,000 miles long, completely around the Earth, wrapping itself completely around the Earth 30 times. It would wrap itself around the Earth 30 times, and it grows an additional 20 miles longer each passing day, this line does. It's the line of people on Earth who do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if they were to hold hands and stand in a line. 750,000 miles long, wrap around the Earth 30 times, and it's growing 20 miles longer each day. It's the line of people on Earth who do not know Jesus, and it's who the missionaries call, or the missiologists call, the sad line of the hand-holding hopeless. The sad line of the hand-holding hopeless. And it's a line that we have to acknowledge, and that we have to be concerned about as it breaks apart and lives amongst us in its pieces. Yeah, this is not my usual time. You're probably noticing, hey, what's he doing up? It's supposed to be Enrique this week, isn't it? Well, unfortunately, Enrique had to go over town. He has a wedding that he was privileged to do. And also, last week, Pastor Andrew did such a great job and inspired me so much that I kind of stood up at the elder meeting and I said, hey, I want to preach this Sunday. I am so ecstatic from what was said last week. I am so up from what was said last week, just like you, right? And it carried you through the week, right? And so, yes, I'm going to continue to talk in 1 Peter. I'm going to continue to talk in 1 Peter chapter 2. So right where you left off last week, you probably still have your Bible marker right in that space. Or perhaps if you open up your app, boom, it'll open up. No, I'm sure that you use it daily basis, right? But yes, turn there again today. Return to that very practical epistle. Peter's writing to Christians who really are not all that different than we are. They, of course, are lived a long time ago, but they were living in extremely difficult seasons, we'll put it that way. No, they were not in the middle of a viral outbreak, but what did they have to tend with from all sides? Persecution, right? Whether it be the Romans, whether it be the Jews, they lived in a season of daily persecution. And what Peter shares with them then about their difficulties and how they should be responding to those difficulties, how they should be acting, behaving to those particular difficulties, speaks volume to us today on how we should be behaving in our particular difficulties and our peculiar difficulties. Now, I firmly believe that this book, 1 Peter, could easily be seen as the Christian's manual for enduring COVID. So you may want to kind of keep a bookmark in there, especially one of the electronic ones, and go through and read it today. Read it a couple of times throughout this week. The Christian Manual for Enduring COVID. I'm going to actually begin chapter 2 again, but begin at verse 9. So it's kind of right where Andrew was finishing last week and just going on another couple of verses. Verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so, beloved, I urge you, as aliens, as strangers in a strange land, kind of, to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul, and keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may actually, because of your good deeds, and they observe them, glorify God. Glorify God in the day of what we'd say his visitation, or in the day of his coming. Glorify God in the day of his coming. Not us glorifying God, but who glorifying God? The Gentiles. Literally, the unbelievers glorifying God. So basically, what Peter tells us is that Christians should live exceptional lives amid suffering. Amid suffering, we should lead exceptional lives, not just lead our lives as best we can. And why? Because that behavior gives God glory. Not glorifies us, but glorifies whom? So we gotta do it correctly. And actually, it's the only way we possibly can do it. Live rightly in times of stress, in times of pressure, in times of disease, in times of terror. The only way we can do that is by relying on God. But what we have to make sure is that people understand that. That's who we're relying on. That is the essence of our faith. That is the basis of the hope that we have. And that is the key word for the day. The hope that we have. Listen to what Peter says again in verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I urge you. You know, as aliens, as foreigners, because this is not our home. What is our home? Heaven is our home. Being with God is where we need to be. That's where we feel that home is. So while we are here then, away from all that, we need to abstain from the fleshly lusts that wage war against our souls. And oh, they are all around us, aren't they? Those fleshly lusts. Keep our behavior excellent among those who do not believe, so that in the thing in which they slander us as evildoers, in actually our behavior in doing good, as they see these good deeds, they may give God the glory. Not that they may glorify us and desire it so that they can also receive glory, but no, so that God can have the glory. Amen? So to paraphrase kind of what Peter's saying here, he's saying, hey, church, you know, a world that completely disagrees with your belief in God is watching you. They are watching you as you believe in this life of believing. With all the pressures that they go through, they're watching us. Because they're watching, they may also then be affected. They may also be open to the Lord. They may be, based on what they observe from us, it may change something in their thinking, right? It may activate something that the Holy Spirit is activating in their lives. The way that we behave, the words that we choose, how we choose to say them, the choices that we make, all of it combines into a greater impact for God than we can ever really understand, than we ever can possibly know. So Peter flat out lays down a challenge to all of us, to all of his church. Live good lives. No, not just because it's the right thing to do, no. But live good lives because God is going to use our good lives to do something much bigger than we can ever even imagine. And he will get the glory from it. He will get the glory from it. Now, when we're saying good lives, we're actually meaning godly lives, because biblically speaking, good and godly are kind of one and the same. They're synonymous. So it's not just good like the relative good that we have in this world and in our culture, because what's good for some people may not be good for others. This is good, godly lives that we need to lead. So I ask a question. With that just being read, I want to ask many of us, are we behaving in Christ-like ways when we use this? You know, when you actually get onto social media, you are behaving, aren't you? You are showing or exhibiting a kind of behavior. It's a new kind of behavior. It's definitely a new cultural behavior that we have, isn't it? And that we have to therefore be aware of, because it is a behavior. I mean, We can be talking with somebody with the voice of an angel, like Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13, in tongues of angels, but 5 minutes later, just railing them on social media, you know, texting them and as venomous as a snake bite on our cell phones. So I think that we need to agree to accept a challenge today, that the next time that we post, the next time we share anything on social media, let's ask before we post, you know, could what I'm about to post, or perhaps the tone, yes, even the tone that I'm taking and posting it, you know, capital letters, bolds, italicized and underlined, quotated, obviously you're upset. And obviously you're upset at whoever it is that you're posting to, you know, but could it in any way cause anyone to think less, not of me, but of Jesus or of his bride, the church? Will it cause someone to want nothing to do with my faith or obviously with Jesus? Now, it's right that we should expect that worldly unbelief, that secularism, as they call it, is going to produce skepticism. It's going to produce cynicism. And we got to fight against it being produced in ourselves constantly. As soon as you turn on the television, boom, you're in a fight, aren't you? As soon as you pick up a newspaper or you get in a discussion about politics, you're in a fight. You're in a fight. Cultural unbelief, as complex as it is in the world today, is eventually going to kind of produce this ever-thickening fog of skepticism, of criticism, of disappointment, of hopelessness, all leading to an overwhelming feeling of hopelessness. And what we want is hopefulness, don't we? That's what we want to live by, a hopefulness. And that's what we do actually have that we'll get into a little more. We Christians have a countercultural calling. That countercultural calling is a calling to hope, to live hopeful lives, lives based on hope. Jesus Christ does call us to be hopeful subjectively. He calls us, each one personally, to be hopeful because we do have a real hope objectively, because our hope is based in something that's very real, that's very concrete, and that's very powerful. And who is it? I know those masks, they kind of keep it from, you know, being... It is Jesus Christ. He is Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we have hope in him, because we have hope in Christ, we also can have hope in ourselves, Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy. He says, Christ Jesus, our hope. Christ Jesus is our hope. And because we can have hope in him, others can hope in us if we stay in him. And that's the basis of how Koinonia and church fellowship works. So here's a fact. We are not to have a pretend or a false hope, like much of the world today, or a false hope in ourselves, because the word says we have a true hope in him. We have a true hope in Jesus Christ. And that is where all of our efforts as far as hope should be focused. We all know life this age to be complex, as we said earlier. You know, we can't help but feel sorry at times. We can't help but feel the pain and the suffering and kind of weep over our own lives, and also weep, of course, with those who weep, as we are supposed to. And we do. We also offer them what we have, however, in Christ. As we are weeping with them, we offer them what they need that we have. And that is that hope, real hope. Hope solidly placed in the person of Jesus Christ. Only in the hope that we have in Jesus, a real, solid, stable, energizing hope, are we able to face up to the real sin in the world, the real pain, the real disappointment, those deep hurts that we find in our world very often, around every corner. The truth is, Christ calls us to be hopeful subjectively because we have real hope objectively in Him, found in Him. You don't believe it? Try it out. He says, test me in it. Try it out. Yes, we still grieve with others. We still grieve for ourselves, but not as others do who have no hope that Paul speaks about to those in Thessalonica and 1 Thessalonians. Nor do we lament, nor do we criticize, nor do we rage as the hopeless unbelievers do. If Christ Jesus can give hope, even as we bury some of our COVID family members and friends, then we can have God-given hope no matter what else erupts in our lives. That's what we've been finding out lately. It's been painful, yes. But the only way that we can endure that is by putting that hope and faith in Jesus Christ. And the realities that that hope and faith do produce are based in, are objectively rooted in, the fact that we will see them again. That we will eventually join them, and that's great, because that's going home. The Christian hope is no mere thin wish like it is in the world. Today, we use the word hope far more casually than they did in the New Testament. We say in this world and in our culture, you know, I hope it's warm tomorrow. How many of you got up this morning and said, boy, I hope it sun comes out and it warms up there. You know, I hope our team wins. I hope I get my vaccine shot soon. In everyday talk, we say hope for thin wishes about uncertain, even unlikely things in the future. And they're based on what? Nothing, when it boils right down to it. They're based on the possibility that this world offers, and that possibility is very thin, very flimsy. Don't step on it. It'll break. Don't step out on it. You'll fall through. But that's not what it was for the apostles. That's not what hope was for the early church, and it shouldn't be what hope is to us today who believe in Jesus Christ. Our hope is not flimsy. It's not fleeting. It's not uncertain. Rather, when they spoke, and what we should speak of now, is a well-founded faith. A well-founded faith ground, yes, grounded in a future focus, grounded in a future place, in a future power that we have. Our hope rooted in faith is knowledge of the truth, as he says in Titus, united in the truth, but looking forward, looks forward, our hope does. Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And what's remarkable, as well as being regularly overlooked, is how powerful, how catalytic, how transformative Paul says that hope is. How Paul says it proves out to be. It's no accident that two New Testament epistles, two New Testament letters that may be most clearly concerned with prompting Christians to good deeds, good works, 1 Peter and Titus are also fed explicitly by the power of hope, not simply faith, but hope in particular. And again, read Titus also. Sometime today, read Titus throughout this week. Compare it with what Peter says in 1 Peter. So now you got Peter and Paul agreeing. That's always a good thing. You don't want these two fighting or stealing one to pay for the other, right? Again and again, 1 Peter rings the bell for doing good works. Chapter 2, verse 12, 14, 15, 20. Chapter 3, verse 6, 10, 11, 13, 16, 17. Chapter 4, verse 19. All of those stem from hope. Good works stemming from hope. Titus, chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 1, verse 13, 21, chapter 3, verse 5. Hope in God leads to good works in this world. And the world needs it. And the world needs to see it, not just experience it, feel it. They need to see it from all of us. Unbelievers do see the good that Christians do, and they ask about what when they see it. How can you do that? What is that hope you're talking about that causes you to do that? And I ask, has any of us ever really paused to consider how the lives of others are benefited because of our hope? Perhaps we should. It's illuminating. Or conversely, what good does not happen in the world because our hope isn't out there and their hope runs thin and cynicism rises, hopelessness rises because we're not out there with our hope. In Titus, do not be unfit for any good work, he says in verse 16, chapter 1. But rather, be a model of good works. In chapter 2, verse 7, be zealous for good works. In chapter 2, verse 14, be ready for every good work. Chapter 3, verse 1, devoting ourselves to good works. You know, that doesn't mean put our own righteousness on display, but rather, no, help cases of urgent need. Do not be unfruitful, as he says in chapter 3, verse 14, Paul does in Titus. In other words, we need to take tangible actions that are motivated by love. Hope releases love. When we have hope, we feel love from God. When we feel love from God, it's what motivates us to love out for God. There's a strong emphasis in Titus of that same thing happening, leading to doing the good. And it's all based on the hope that we feel and that we have in Jesus Christ. So as it continues in that first sentence in Titus chapter 1, Paul speaks of godliness, good works, birthed in hope of a life eternal, hope of eternal life. So first, yes, is faith. And this faith gives rise to a godliness in the hope of eternal life. And it solidifies, that hope solidifies that faith. Hope is the critical link, Paul is saying, between faith in Christ and good works to others. It's what kind of throws the switch. When we finally feel that hope, and it causes us to kind of get motivated and to activate on behalf of others. Faith in Christ and in his person produces a hope of eternal life. We realize as we rest in him and what he has done for us, that we will go on eternally, right? Spiritually, we will go on eternally, and not just go on eternally, we will go on eternally with him in heaven, with God. And that gives us, yes, a joy, but it also produces a hope that allows us then to do the works needed to be done for the hopeless in this world. We begin to focus outside of ourselves because we don't have to concern ourselves anymore. We know where we're going. And now all of a sudden our question becomes, where are they going? They're going to hold hands and join this line that goes on and on and on. Or are they going to heaven? Join hands with God and be with us. Be with us. It's a blessed hope, he says in chapter 2, verse 13. Hope in the coming of Christ and the bliss that he will bring. It gives us joy now in the present, joy enough to free us from seeking our own to loving others, to seek to meet their needs, not our needs. So Paul's structure of thought is very similar also in Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Lays it all out right there. It frees us to be able to do what God asks us to do. What we find so restricting. For some reason, we're restrained. Well, it's that hope that frees us, that lets us go. The faithful in Colossae did good for others. They loved others because of their hope, Paul says.
Faith in Christ fed hope in a certain promised future, which released God's people from earthly fears, earthly entanglements, earthly laziness, the cultural malaise that we get wrapped up into, so that we can dream about and make good on doing good for others. And we need to join them. Amen? And again, why is it that Christian hope, not hope in general, has such a catalytic effect in and through our lives? Well, Paul answers this in the opening lines of Titus, where he goes back and says, hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Hey, this hope is a long time being built, isn't it? I mean, it's a long time being established. And now we're discovering it? Come on. It's about time, if we haven't before. Why would he say that? Well, God never lies. He says here, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. That's part of why we can have hope in him, and why it is something objective, and why it is something concrete that we and solid that we need, that we can base our hope on. He says it because God's truthfulness is absolutely critical for our hope. Our hope in Christ is as good as God's word, is what he's essentially saying. Our hope is not what we wish. Our hope is not what we dream. Our hope is what God has promised. And boy, if you can't put your hope in anything else, this is where it needs to be. And we shouldn't put our hope in anything else. He never lies. His promises are good. Our hope is secure. So Peter and Paul both state this dynamic faith-producing hope inspires a loving risk that we have, inspires us to lovingly sacrifice for others. But Hebrews says, you know, it's not only found in us, it was found in Christ himself. And he is, again, the exemplar of that hope. He is the one we look at being the epitome of that hope. For it is that hope what encouraged Christ Jesus to go to the cross. How was it that the consummate man of faith, Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, the founder and perfecter of our faith, as the author of Hebrews calls him, did the greatest single good work that has ever been done? What propelled him? What drove him against the greatest of all obstacles to go to the cross? For whom? For us. What was it? Well, in a word, it was hope. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Jesus, for the hope of joy that was set before him, endured the cross. By faith, Jesus trusted in the promises of God, and he saw his reward ahead of time. No, it was not wishful thinking about the future, but about eyes of faith looking to the future and realizing and even tasting that this outcome is as sure as the promises of God. My father asked me, and he told me that this would be the outcome, and I will do it. And he did do it. This is faith fed by hope, and that hope produced the greatest labor of love the world has ever known. And now we are supposed to labor in that same love, by that same hope, to the people around us. Jesus Christ, for our sins, so we can help others with their sins. Amen? In Christ, we do not let the growing hopelessness around us dampen our hopefulness. And in him, we don't apologize for having real hope. Real hope. We don't apologize on being hopeful. No, we go out and give him the glory for it all. We don't give in to the pressures to stoop and be cynical because of our surroundings, because of what's happening to us. Rather, we take God as his word, for he never lies. And he promises us a stunning hope in Christ, one that unleashes us with joy to do the good that he has asked us to do, and he will empower us to do. So here's a final truth.
No one who knows what can happen at sea ever goes out to sea in a vessel that does not carry an anchor, or no one should. Even if we're the greatest and most modern liners afloat, and you'll notice that all of the liners do have anchors and not just one. Circumstances might arise when the hope of the ship and all of her company would depend not on the captain, not on the crew, not on the engines, not on the compass, not on the steering gear, not on their ability to read the stars, but on what? On that anchor. When all else fails, there's hope, a lot of hope, put in that anchor. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, and that hope is whom? Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, you honor us by creating us in your image and giving us the gift of life. You honor us by giving us the greatest gift of life, your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we want to live in a way that will honor and glorify you in everything that we do. We want to be like your Son, Jesus. We want to live in the same hope that he lived in. We want to be as hopeful as he was for the sake of others. We want to see the reflection of Christ in the eyes of everyone. And we want to be a part of the gift of the Holy Spirit that lives in each one of us and enables us to share love, share concern, share service, to be disciples. And so bless us on this day and every day that we have the opportunity to hope in Jesus and to be like him, to make a difference in the world that you have allowed us to share in and that you expect us to make a difference in. And so help us, we pray. Help us to make a difference as Jesus made a difference. And it's in his name we do pray. Amen.
Ron, thank you. This morning, we're reminded Jesus will return swiftly, unexpectedly, any moment. And his return will usher in the renewal of all things. And I mean, we're talking justice will be included in that, right? Rewards, the feast, your estates, and your place in the kingdom. In addition to the restoration of everything you love, there is hope in that, my friends, and it starts now. Those thoughts have staggering implications. It'll change the way you live now. It'll change the way we live as a couple. If you're married, it'll change the way you father or mother or parent your child. I want to introduce to you a couple that has really got a story. It's quite an adventure that they're on. And as they're coming up, Tyler and Anna, this is something that you don't always hear about during a pandemic, so to speak. Having an adventure, hearing a calling, somewhat of a covert operation going on in their life. But if you would please welcome to our tenth stage this morning, the Sabakers. Well, my buddy Tyler here grew up on the island, and his dad, I see Carly. Is that Carly behind the mask there? Sweet. So sister and dad are with us this morning, and those of you family joining us online, welcome to you watching the fam up here. But I want to start with the fact that you've brought an incredible person by your side to share in this adventure. Introduce your lovely bride, if you would.
This is Anna. It's a really long story. Ann and I first met each other about 10 years ago out at Campus by the Sea. She was visiting her brother who was working out there, and we became friends, and we kind of talked off and on as time went by, and both really found a passion for being overseas. I studied foreign relations at Concordia University right over here in Irvine, and Anna went to Moody in Chicago and studied intercultural studies. And so both discovered that passion independently. We're talking about some of our mutual experience, which I'll let Anna talk a little bit about hers. Some of you might know that when I was really young, my family served down in Mexico with an organization called Hands of Mercy, which was a house-building organization down there. And that's kind of what sparked my big interest in being overseas as well as being involved in ministry. And as I continued to pursue either a career or a way to be involved, not here, but in a different culture, we reconnected not too long ago, and really found a mutual passion there. And obviously, we're married now, so it must have gone pretty well.
And a covert wedding,
that's
too,
right?
Yeah. A covert wedding during the pandemic times, one of those great love stories. Welcome to both of you guys this morning. Guys, they're working with Youth with a Mission. For those that are listening online, I know a lot of Islanders have heard of YWAM, right? But Youth with a Mission has a lot of work to do. Remember, staggering implications with hope that what's coming means now something needs to happen. Right? To not be comfortable here, but something stirring in our hearts and in our lives. Tyler and Anna have answered a calling, and it was not a, you know, this thing has been going on. When we talked several weeks ago, they were still in the process of figuring out what some of the other end will look like, and even the transportation, driving down there, what that adventure crossing the border in these times can look like, all of it. I'd like for you to take a moment, explain this calling and your adventure. Where are you going and why?
Okay. As I kind of already touched on, we both have a deep-seated passion to be overseas. When I was young, I had that early exposure to that house-building ministry down in Mexico. And so that's always been something that has stuck with me. Anna, also in school, worked with an organization called Josiah Venture. Do you want to talk briefly about what you did with them? Sure. Okay.
Yeah, so I was able to connect with an organization that works in Eastern and Central Europe when I was in college, and I interned there, and then after I graduated, I spent more time there. And I thought the Lord was calling me into that full time, so I was kind of pursuing that, and then he put that on hold, and he said, you're going to go a different direction, and that's when Tyler and I reconnected. So missions and cross-cultural ministry has just always been a passion of mine. My parents were missionaries when I was born. Just being able to share that together. I was familiar with YWAM because my parents were pursuing working with them, and that door closed for them. But through Tyler's connection and just through kind of my, our mutual passion for missions, the Lord's really opened this door to be able to go down to Mexico, to right outside Ensenada. They're starting a brand new YWAM base down there on this ranch. And so they've invited us to be a part of that, and God's just kind of kept opening those doors for us to join them, and we're really excited about that, especially as a new couple. We've only been married for 6 months, so to be able to pursue ministry and missions together and see what that's going to look like down there for these 5 months of the training that we'll be a part of. So, yeah, we're really excited about it.
This is a cool thing. We have two shared adventures going on. One is called marriage. Woo! Good luck with that one, all right? No, it's worthy. It's worth it. And the second one is a calling in your life and a shared mission for kingdom. It's the coolest thing ever to be able to do it together, right? I know when I left Florida and crossed the states to come over here to have my wife with me, that shared adventure, it just took on a whole new meaning. This is special. And how can we partner with you? What is it you would like for us to do as your launching stage here from Catalina, so close to where you're headed? What can we do?
Well, I would say a huge thing would be prayer, if you would pray for us. Just pray that we can get down there safely. It's definitely a huge praise that we've been able to drive. We are in Indiana the past year, so been able to drive all the way here from Indiana. And the car, we've had no issues with travel, and that's definitely been an answer to prayer. So praise the Lord for that. And just prayer that we'll be able to make it down there safely. And that we will really just follow the Lord's leading and direction, that he'll humble us and teach us what he wants to teach us as a couple. And also give us discernment to know what's next. Like I said, this is only 5 months of training. And we have no idea where we're going to be after that, what that's going to look like at all. So it's, yeah, definitely a lot of prayer that the Lord would just make that really clear to us, what he's going to have for us next. I'm not worried about it, because I've seen throughout my life and throughout our relationship just how the Lord has been so faithful, how he's provided for us, how he's opened doors and closed doors. So I know that he's going to lead us, but just that we would be listening to his voice and we would follow that. That's a big thing. So
it's a great testimony to everyone listening, especially our young people this morning. We'd like to pray with you. Is there anything else we need to know, Tyler?
Obviously, the stuff Anna touched on about continued traveling mercies, as well as our own sensitivity to find those things that the Lord has for us when we're down on that basin right outside Ensenada. On kind of a more personal note, I know a lot of you know my folks, Susie and Shane. My grandma is going through a really hard time right now. I think for both of us, praying for the family that's still here in the States is something that's been weighing on my heart quite a bit. Just today, and also I know before we left Indiana, there's siblings that Anna has, as well as her parents. So just be praying that the Lord is taking care of them, is keeping them in good health, and continuing to draw them closer to him.
That's awesome, to pray for others rather than your ministry, and to think of your family versus you. You're very humble, and I love hearing that. We're going to pray for you guys right now, if we could. Can we have our pastors come up here? And also, Dad, if you could come on up. Carly, if you'd like to come up too, we'd love to have you up here, as we're going to send these guys off this morning. I'm going to ask that our congregation, and even those listening online right now, just stretch out your hands as we're going to send them off. We're going to lift this before our Father and say, your protection is needed, God. Your hand on them is needed. Jesus, your mission is evident. Give them power and courage and strength. And Holy Spirit, anoint this from the start. Right off the bat, protect their marriage. And especially the new work. Begin to show them what that new work looks like. They don't know. And so let's pray this morning, if you all would lift your hands forward as we anoint them this morning. And John, if you'll close.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for this opportunity and this beautiful couple. What a story of beauty in the midst of something where the world and its news and breaking news has a whole nother feel and a whole nother reality to it. This is reality. This is truth. There is something that is renewable about this. There is something with hope. It says there's something stirring in these young people. They're not just here to make a difference. They're here to do something for the kingdom that's eternal. That's the difference. They recognize what's coming. And as a result, they're laying themselves down, even asking for prayer. They've asked for their family members here in the States to be blessed and to be cared for. Father, I love that humility. And right now I ask that same blessing on this couple, that you will lift them up. You will give them encouragement, safety on their travels across the border and in this car to their new mission, most of which they're not quite sure about yet, but they know they have one. And here come the prayers in Jesus' name.
And Father, we do ask that you would indeed watch over their families as that is a concern on their heart. And we need to be able to be out there and help them to be relieved of those concerns so that they can go and do what it is that you are calling them to do with all the utmost that you are calling them to do it with. And we pray that you would establish their hope in you, Lord, very powerfully as they go out to do good works in your name. And Father, we ask again that you would protect them from the evil one as well, and protect their family from the evil one. But especially as they are out actually doing spiritual warfare in the actions that they are taking by helping others, by loving others, we pray that you would protect them against any undue evil forces. And there are a lot of them around border areas and border lands, and that you would miraculously escort them, Lord, into health and safety, and continue to watch over them, we pray, and their families.
And Father, we're so thankful for how you have continued to call people up and out of this body here to go into the world and to bring the good news, to bring love and hope and care to those around them. And I do pray for that sensitivity to your spirit and that in your leading down there as the conversations that they'll find themselves in, the activities that they'll find themselves doing, or they're listening and following you, and that you would continue to provide for every need along the way. And that's already been prayed over in the health and all the other means of travel and that and the details, Lord. But again, it is so good to have a God that is the one calling, but is also the one providing and strengthening and encouraging all along the way. So go with them. And as we've been laying our hands out, we're commissioning them into your hands and your care by your power and your spirit alive and well in them, and including the family that will be here, continuing to pray and support them from this end. Lord, we know your covering will be over them as well. We thank you for this couple, their love for you, their hope in you, and their listening ears to you. And we lift them all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
And guys, I've asked as you leave today for them to be standing over in this area. Don't miss an opportunity to bring encouragement their way and maybe find out what you can do to partner with them. Thanks, guys.
And over on the table here by the exit, there will be a paper that we're making available that gives more information about them. You can support them financially through Avalon Community Church. So you would just, you know, put on there for Tyler and Anna, and we will be able to pass that money through us to them. So feel free to connect with them on the way out. And I do want to just say before we close, if you see Steve Gorzenko around, it was his birthday yesterday. So if you're watching, Steve, happy belated birthday. But let's stand as we close in song together and head out.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wild. God of mercy, sweet love. love of mine. I have surrendered to your design, and may this offering stretch across the skies and these hallelujahs be multiplied.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.